Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta.
Welcome back, Tunes, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, coffee in hand, warming up to another great day. We are here to talk cyberpunk. And I think I'll start the show off a little bit cute and sweet. Now, I know that we haven't talked about this a whole lot because I've only found one set of binoculars in my cyberpunk playthrough. And that was over by where... What's his face? The car guy. The fixer.
El Muammar?
Yes. So over in his area where he's standing on the bridge, there are a set of binoculars that you could just go and take some cool pictures looking over Night City. Mm-hmm. But apparently, there is a set of binoculars on top of Tom's Diner. That first diner that you go to and sit with Takamura.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to think. How do you get on top of that diner?
I have no idea. But now I'm going to have to, because apparently there's a little cute little Easter egg attached to it. You swing the binoculars around searching for the CDPR Red Rooster logo. And if you find it and you hover on it for a little while, a secret image of all the devs pops up.
Aww. That's cute.
Super cute. And it took people a long time to find it, apparently. So, congrats on those who did. I will follow in your footsteps and go and look.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found any binoculars yet?
I think I just saw the ones by El Muammar. I can't think of any others that I might have found.
I just don't know where they would be. That was my first thought, because it is a viewpoint. I'll have to actually keep my eye out for more.
You'll probably find out. They probably have them listed like on the wiki somewhere.
Yeah, I don't want to wiki it. That's cheating.
It's fine. I wasn't gonna. I was just saying. It's a maybe.
Well, do you think that we would find any in Santo Domingo?
I mean, probably somewhere. Technically speaking, I think El Mumar's count is one, so
I guess.
I mean, yeah. I'm still determined to try and get to the top of this Ferris wheel. It's a Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. It's like the sideways Ferris wheel. I'm still determined to try to get to the top of it, but every time it kicks me off. So, but I don't know.
That's maybe rude. Eventually. Yeah.
I think there's a barrier or something.
They should let you get to the top of the Ferris wheel. That's stupid. I've never tried, but now I'm gonna.
I'm gonna have to try again. It's like weirdly, like the angle's weird. The geometry of it is like feels, I'll say, like slippery. If that makes sense.
Okay.
You feel like you're kind of like moving in a weird like like, and you have to like kind of keep that same, like a very specific route to not like just fall off or something. I don't know. It's a weird one.
Interesting. All right. So we brought up Santo Domingo because that is the place we are traveling to next in our journey to learn more and more about Night City. Kick it off from there with a very short little blurb. The Santo Domingo District is one of the 6 districts of Night City in Cyberpunk 2077, and it's widely known for being the more industrial one.
Yep. So we have a bit of a database entry. I'm now wondering if I say database or database. Like, I think I say that like interchangeably. I wonder if I don't know. I just had a thought. The just thought just came to me because I consciously thought, am I going to say data or data? And I guess I decided data. That's not important. But yeah, I will start by saying before we do this database entry, as I was doing research for this, that I actually found I was pleasantly surprised by like my initial like perception of Santo Domingo, like what I had thought before this, because I kind of thought it was just like the shittier part of the map. Like, I think out of all of the places in the 2077 map, this is the one that drew my interest the least out of all of them. But it actually is a very, like, kind of... It's definitely still shitty and bad, but there's, like, a surprising, like, hopefulness to it that I was... I found out. So, I kind of like it.
That's really cool.
I have a higher appreciation. But anyways, let's get to the entry. Santo Domingo is one of Night City's oldest districts. Luckily, its location meant it avoided the worst damage from the Fourth Corporate War, though the tens of thousands of Night citizens deprived of their homes still built provisional camps and settlements. Today, no trace of them remains. Santo Domingo has instead become an industrial hub with an abundance of enterprises and manufacturing and power plants. Corporations are in constant battle over influence in the district. Real estate changes hands, new businesses pop up, and old businesses fall. Meanwhile, construction sites are guarded by combat troops guarding corporate property and secrets, though often they serve as law enforcement in cases when a company shuts down and fires all of its staff, mostly around Rancho Coronado, raising the risk of riots.
The district originates from the old Haywood, which by the 2040s was already being called Santo Domingo. As such, it is one of the oldest districts in Night City. After avoiding the major backlash from the Fourth Corporate War, it turned into a temporary camp for thousands of citizens seeking shelter. By 2077, the settlements were gone, and Santo Domingo had become a testing ground for industrial projects. Corporations destroyed old factories, only to build new ones in their place.
But before that, we're going to pull it back to 2020. Before the bomb dropped and before it was known as Santo Domingo, this area was known as the Haywood Industrial Zone, a light industrial area that straddled the east of Del Coronado Bay between Rancho Coronado and North Oak. Haywood had a lot of everything, some housing, a little retail shopping, a few bars, and the well-known Apple Valley Corporate Subdivision, a primarily Biotechnica-dominated Beaverville in South Haywood. But most of Haywood's rolling hills were dotted with large, sprawling factories, industrial complexes, including an Arasaka arms factory, several Biotechnica research stations, 2 EBM storage and research stations, and many other facilities. These bland, mass-designed industrial parks dotted the hills of Haywood, some underground, some above, some small, some sprawling over acres. At some point, there were so many of them that even the Haywood City Council didn't know all of their names or what they did.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Now, the overpacked suburbs of 2045. In the aftermath of the Fourth Corporate War, most of the central Night City was uninhabitable. Not because of residual radiation, but from the loss of power, sewer, and water services. The suburbs became host to a huge number of tent cities and unregulated refugee camps, smack in the middle of what had previously been safe suburban corporate Beavervilles. While huge mega buildings were under construction to house the refugees, this region was crowded, crime-ridden, and on the edge of disaster at all times.
And now we'll talk about the other suburbs when we get to their respective districts. But there were actually a couple of them in, quote, Haywood at the time. There was the Haywood suburb, a truly overpacked sector of the city, housing a large percentage of the city's population, and already starting to divide based on wealth and power. The rich in the north and the poor in the south, who would soon call the area Santo Domingo. And then there was also the Haywood Industrial Zone, which is the largest industrial zone in the city, overflowing with warehouses, construction equipment, factories, and even some derelict cargo ships.
All right. Meanwhile, back in 2077, residents seek a desperate living in the crowded mega buildings, hoping for better things to come. It didn't take long for a couple of ex-military veterans to group together and take matters into their own hands. I'm sorry for my voice cracking today, listeners. I did a very long episode the other day, and my voice is still a little tired and sore. The district then became home to the 6th Street Gang, also known as the Sixers.
We'll go with that. We'll go with Sixers for this. Now, Arroyo is the industrial heart of Santo Domingo. In this contrasting region, you can find an old power plant and junkyard right next to newly built high-tech corporate factories. Operational factories keep their own private security as neglected buildings quickly become controlled by the gangs. The workers from Arroyo then return home to Rancho Coronado, a self-sufficient housing district with dozens of identical homes. This neighborhood is reminiscent of the traditional American homes of the early 20th century.
Very Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm. It always, the concept of Beavervilles just always baffles me. Like, I forget that they exist, then I'm reminded, and I'm just like, they just have these fucking, like, idyllic suburban places and like in the middle of like cyberpunk, and it just doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Right. It, because, and especially because in our minds we associate so much of cyberpunk as being in Night City. It was really cool when we got to travel around the world and see, well, I mean, at least read, and I could picture the way that a lot of these places looked, being less cyber techie, being less Night City. But to think that even within Night City, or at least its surrounding areas, there are these quaint little suburbs that probably look very similar to the neighborhood that I actually live in right now.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I never went to Santo Domingo very often, so I just didn't think about it. But it's like, I guess technically speaking, you do that one little Delamain quest where you drive around a little suburban area shooting lawn flamingos.
Yes. So, oh, it's fun.
It's so weird. It's so weird, but yeah.
All right. So a little bit of behind the scenes information from the official digital art book of Cyberpunk 2077. Towering mega buildings containing tens of thousands of tiny apartments, in their shadow, a failed attempt to create a suburban utopia of single-family dwellings. Stark contrasts mark every corner of Night City, but few are starker than Santo Domingo's. Here, verticality abuts sprawl. Factories and power plants sit right next to the supposedly idyllic residential neighborhoods, and the whole urban planning concept of separate functional zones is flipped the bird. Santo Domingo is something like your trashy cousin's backyard, full of broken down pickups and moldy garden gnomes. It is a district that has undergone constant change. It's cheap land where every mad scheme gets a shot, then is swept clean to make way for the next one. I fucking love cyberpunk, man.
I do too. The sad thing is I grew up in the country. They weren't my cousins, but I can think of many, more than I can count on both of my hands, individuals who match this description.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck? It's so goofy.
I wish they also added the little tidbit instead of moldy garden gnomes. I want too many lawn flamingos.
Too many lawn flamingos. True. There was a lot of lawn flamingos.
I don't think I've ever had a flamingo in my lawn in any place that I've lived in. My mom might have had a garden gnome or two.
I don't think about either of those things. Yeah, no, definitely haven't had either of those things. I did have a thought as like you were reading that. You know what I want from the next game? I want a fully explorable mega building.
Ooh.
Like not, it doesn't, like, you don't take an elevator up to like restricted floors. Like, I want to be able to traverse the whole thing. Or at least much significantly more of it than we're allowed to in 2077.
Yeah, because what, you can go to your floor, the floor below it, and then like the two or three stores, right? The fighting dude, the gun guy. Are there even any food vendors? I think we see them, but they're not interactable.
Yeah, they're not interactable. And then you can go to other ones, like you can kind of, you go through like a bit of the mega building for like Clouds, like the one that Clouds is in. But like other ones, not really. We'll actually talk about a couple of them. But yeah.
It would be cool.
But yeah, moving on to Arroyo, one of the sub districts of Santo Domingo. Now I feel weird saying database. See what I mean? It's weird.
I think
the database.
I think I'm data. Yeah, it's a database. Yeah, I'm a data girl.
I'll say we'll do the database entry for Arroyo. Now everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck, Toasty? Why do you keep flopping? You're gonna be so upset with me. It's gonna be great. When are they gonna finish Arroyo? Residents like to joke about their district. For money, it seems like a never-ending construction site, with buildings bulldozed overnight to make way for new ones that same morning. Arroyo currently hosts a power plant, a fully automated factory, a logistics center, and a gigantic landfill. Arroyo's no Pacifica, but investment has been shaky. Driving through, you'll see scores of decrepit or unfinished buildings. But just because the factories and warehouses are closed doesn't mean they're abandoned. Many of them serve as hideouts for the Sixers. Perhaps then it isn't strange that whatever's still owned by Arasaka or Petrochem is carefully guarded by corporate military squads.
The Arroyo district is always under constant construction, and in 2077 it consists of an old-fashioned power plant, robot factories, logistics center, and a gigantic junkyard. Not every corporate investment has turned out to be profitable, and a significant number of buildings in the district are unfinished, either partially constructed or simply lying in complete ruin. All the operational high-tech sites, including the Arasaka factory or Petrochem's Better Life power plants, are restricted areas with their own security forces. The reason being for such high security is that the district belongs to the Sixth Street Gang, who control many abandoned factories and heavy equipment storage areas in the district.
Locations in Arroyo are the Arasaka Industrial Park, Burger, the shop, Claire's Garage, High Tech Factory, Dewdrop Inn, Electric Corporation Power Plant, the Kendachi Factory, Almunacar, the Kendachi Factory in El Camino, the Kenmore Diner, Las Palapas Motel, Mega Building H4, which is the one David is from, Mega Building H6, the Night City Prison, Petrochem Power Plant, Red Dirt, the Manufactory, and Tire Empire Auto Shop. Because I think it's supposed to be Tire and Empire.
Yeah.
Most of these are just like the game locations that you can go to or look at or whatnot. So,
I mean, the Burger, I think that's a food joint. It's like a burger place. Mm-hmm. Claire's Garage, we obviously go there. You can, Mega Building 4 is where you can get the David BD to start his whole quest line.
Mm-hmm. I believe a lot of these places are just like mission locations, like the Dewdrop Inn, a few other ones where you can kind of like you go in with a gig or something.
What about the prison? I don't remember actually going to the prison.
We hear about it. There's actually not a ton of information about it. It's just the penitentiary located in Arroyo.
That to me is so weird because, like, mm-hmm. in real world, you would never put the prison inside the city limits like that. Like, you can have jails or, you know, stuff like that, but a legit prison is something completely different.
Well, I can imagine that, like, in the smaller form of, like, 2020 and 2045 Night City, because they've expanded so far outward by 2077, it wasn't. And then now that it's expanded out, it is now included or is close enough to be included.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. And now we have a little bit more of the behind the scenes from the official digital art book of Cyberpunk 2077. Think of it as the Southside Industrial District, and you're not far off. Except Arroyo somehow manages to be even dirtier and more derelict than its northern cousin. Its factories focus on heavy metallurgy, or at least it did, before the majority went bankrupt. When they shut their doors, they left a dozen mega buildings worth of newly unemployed neighbors standing outside. The only gainful employment to be had was either with gangs or security corporations keeping gangs away from the few still active factories. Arroyo is entropism with neo-militaristic edge, a deeming of teetering chimneys and crumbling but still imposing megabuildings. Yet the people who live here are colorful and feisty, as reflected in the kitsch graffiti, and outfits are what we see at the street level.
So just like to state for the record, a dozen mega buildings worth. The numbers that we are given for mega buildings is they are built to house about 128,000 people.
That's a lot of fucking people. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's so. What is that? 128,000 times 12. 1.5 million people left without jobs.
Wow. Oh.
That's got to tank the economy.
Right? And no unemployment benefits.
Mm-mm. Nope, those don't exist. Just left on the street. But yeah, but one of and kind of the biggest and notable locations in Arroyo is the Arasaka Industrial Park, which actually does have its own database entry. Uh-huh. I'm flopping back and forth. They're going to huck and hate me. A maintenance logistics facility in Night City belonging to Arasaka. It's not only one of the largest depots in town, but a highly specialized all-in-one engineering park and workshop. Ever seen an Atlas AV with an Arasaka logo on the armored hull? This is where such standard models arrive to be retrofitted with deadly upgrades. It only takes a few to simultaneously take off to wake up all of Arroyo. But for some time, the district's inhabitants haven't been losing any sleep. The tightly secured facility is disconcertingly silent. Maybe it has something to do with the special transport.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Arasaka Industrial Park is a heavily guarded industrial area located within Arroyo. Within the large warehouse stores everything from Arasaka vehicles, weapons, and uniforms to various other products utilized by the company.
In 2077, the warehouse held the various floats that were used in the Dashi Parade of Japantown. V infiltrates the Arasaka Industrial Park in order to get to the warehouse to install malware into Hanako's float with the help of Goro.
Yes. It was actually pretty cool doing this mission, looking at the other floats and stuff too. I like the big dragon.
I think I have a picture from this. Just like, I don't know. I was just doing goofy stuff because it was like raining super heavy whenever I did this mission. And it was like super like atmospheric. I think I have it in there. I'll share art. You do this a lot too. I have to find the right folder though, because...
All right, while you are looking up your cool screenshots from the game, I will take us into a mid-break. Welcome to the middle of the show, where we talk about the show and not the lore of Cyberpunk. Thank you so much, Chooms. We are now up to a grand total of 14 patrons. You are all amazing, and now including our newest patron, Caden. Welcome to the fam. Very much Alenko? Appreciate. It's not Alenko.
Oh, okay.
It's not. They spell it a little differently as well.
Okay. Well, it's Posty making a Mass Effect reference. That's fucking wild. He doesn't.
I know.
That
was insane. You got the last name right. You pronounced it correctly, and you pulled it out of your hat just like that. I'm so proud of you. We don't have any new reviews to read out this week, but I have published all of the comments on Spotify. And so continue leaving those. Continue leaving the ratings and the reviews. You guys are amazing. We would not be here without the great, amazing fans that you all are. So show us some love on the internet. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say.
I don't have anything to add.
All right, let's move on to Rancho Coronado.
Surprise, surprise, we have another database entry. I'm getting too much joy of like knowing that it's gonna upset people. Some insist that Rancho Coronado is not a district of Night City, but in fact a little town situated at its edge. It could seem that way at first sight, with its identical townhouses reminiscent of the classic 20th century inner city suburb. Quaint stores, bars, a park, school, and subway station. Sounds like the American dream, right? Well, that's exactly what the land and factory owners of Arroyo thought when they designed the neighborhood. Every building was intended for workers living near their respective plants.
Corporations even made sure that Rancho Coronado had its own law enforcement, since the NCPD couldn't be relied upon. No shit. Rancho Coronado now mostly houses middle and higher ranking corporate employees from nearby factories and offices who wanted to get away from the city. Residents from other districts like to joke that it resembles more of a hamster cage. Everyone in Rancho Coronado has everything they need in one place. You've got your wheel, your water, your food. What more could you ask for?
That's true. But this is kind of the thing that like got my attention there. It's just like like the fact that there is what seemingly is like corporate people just like living, like, and they are even like living away from city center because they don't like the noise. They don't like how busy it is. So it's just more of like, it just feels more like it is just a suburb, which does like, it's weird to think that that just exists in like Night City as a place. But it's kind of, I just thought it was kind of neat
that there are real people in the world. Not everybody is a complete corpo asshole.
Yeah. And like, we knew that, but like, just don't think it gets thought about as much. Like it does most of the big like cyberpunk stories are those of like the corporate entities versus like the edge runners. And it's like, actually, no, these are like this is where, you know, maybe post like Phantom Liberty ending V, like this is where, like, this is the kind of the person that they've become, just this like middle ground. Just seems cool. But anyways, throwing back a little bit to 2020, to the location known as the Rancho Coronado Beaverville, the ultimate Beaverville, with all that the name implies, south of Night City on Highway 126, Rancho Coronado extended for miles, consisting almost entirely of tract housing interspersed with small, trendy mini malls. I thought it's so weird to me. I don't know why. Mostly vast, featureless subdivisions, Rancho Coronado was packed full of Arasaka, Petrochem, Biotechnica, WNS, and EBM employees, all neatly slotted into rows of identical small three-bedroom homes that reached towards the horizon. Rancho Coronado was the kind of place that made most edge runners break out into a cold sweat just thinking about it.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, all the corpos in one place. Stay away.
Suburbia. No, give me action. All right, Rancho Coronado in the 2045s. Another member of the overpacked suburbs mentioned before, the Rancho Coronado of 2045 was a vast stretch of old Beaverville-style housing, taken over by tent cities and industrial zones that had grown out of the corpses of previous mini-malls. Mm-hmm. As of 2077, Rancho Coronado appears as a self-sufficient town within Night City. The corporations who own the Arroyo factories planned and advertised it as a place for their workers to live out the real American dream. Rancho Coronado consists almost solely of identical houses, reminiscent of the one seen in the mid-20th century American suburbs.
And I basically just think my best reference point is just Fallout.
Mm.
It's just the start of Fallout 4.
Yeah. Just
imagine all the corpos going around like that. Or, Saints Row 4? If you played that, like the dream sequence they push you in.
I don't remember that one.
It's like the beginning of it is you're like essentially in a brain dance. The aliens like put you in a brain dance and you're just like living as like a nice like 50s individual. There's even like the walk that like there's like gifts of just like that jolly walk down the street. It's real goofy. The district has its own bars, shopping centers, school, park, restaurants, and even a metro station. Security is overseen by the Sixers, since the NCPD is spread too thin to maintain overwatch on the suburbs. Residents of Rancho Coronado are primarily mid and high-ranking factory workers, and some corpos who were tired of Night City's lights and noise. Most of the people here work in Arroyo and don't need to leave Santo Domingo for their entire lives. Despite its utopian concept, the neglect and disrepair can be clearly seen.
So we have a couple of key locations, and that is the Capitan Caliente, the Badlands Dam, The Damn Slums, Gunorama, Octavio's Clinic, Highway 101, Horrigan Family Home, Kendall Park, the Bruce Skiv Memorial, Mega Building H7, Night City Center for Psychiatric Health, the Pharmaceuticals, Pi Z, Rancho Coronado Public High School, Stylishly, and the Triple Extreme Gym. A lot of those are well-known locations.
Yeah. And some of these, there's not a lot of information on them, but they're still like notable places. Capitan Caliente, I think, that's the first place we meet one of the fixers. There's like Capitan the Fixer, right? Is that Muammar still?
I don't know. I thought Capitan Caliente was the building inside Dogtown.
Let me see.
Yeah. It is. It's a location in Dogtown.
Oh, it's a franchise of restaurants.
Oh.
There is one. But there's different like restaurants. It does talk mostly about this one. But I guess there is a branch of it in Rancho Coronado. I thought it sounded like it because I thought one of them, but never mind. It's just an actual like restaurant chain, so maybe it's not. Or maybe I'm thinking of a different fixer. I think I might be actually. Some of these places we don't have a ton of information on, but they are places that we like visit or go through certain quests and whatnot. We talked about Highway 101 with the Badlands. Pi Z's the place where you go with I can never remember his name. The Centerman quest.
Oh.
I can't remember his damn name.
I don't remember his name either, but Centerman.
Yeah. But there are a few pretty significant ones. But before we get to those, we have a bit more behind the scenes info from the official digital art book. Tree-lined cul-de-sacs, backyard pools, red tile roofs, and a rocking chair on every porch. Rancho Coronado was supposed to have it all. The 20th century suburban dream recreated in a dried up riverbed by the old Petrochem Dam Coom landfill on the edge of town. The glossy brochures wrote themselves. Leave the meat grinder of the city behind and live in a self-contained slice of paradise. You'll have shops, services, and entertainment right in the neighborhood, and good jobs in the Arroyo factories next door. You'll never have to return to Night City proper again.
The funding and will to actually achieve this vision never materialized. Rancho Coronado is a half-assed simulacrum of a suburb. A glorified shantytown slapped down on toxic soil next to a dump. Still many are happy to live there. Its corporate owners pay for private security force, so it's fairly safe. And tiny cookie-cutter houses are no North Oak villas, but they sure beat the rat holes in Arroyo mega buildings. And while garbage AVs constantly spill trash on you, some of it you can fix up or sell.
Jesus. Hey! I love these. I love the turns in these. Like, all of the... This is what it was supposed to be. But...
Amazing. Like
the world of cyberpunk, it never ends up good. we can move on to the one of the prominent landmarks in this location, the Badlands Dam. You probably have seen it if you've gone into Santo Domingo at all. It's pretty big. According to the database entry, a multi-million euro dollar undertaking, an industrial feat, 2 million hectoliters of toxic water, and hundreds of flooded homes. Welcome to the Badlands. When the dam was under construction, it was obvious there would also be a reservoir, which sounded great in theory. The townsfolk put that piece of knowledge in the back of their heads and didn't stop to wonder why they needed a dam.
Why here of all places? And who was profiting from it? Spoiler alert, it wasn't the town's residents. And since losers don't get to write history, any memory of them and their tragedy evaporated from the collective consciousness as quickly as the morning dew on a hot summer's morning.
I love this shit so much. Oh my god.
It's so good. It is so good. That is straight from the database entry. So I'm not over here though. It's based is what it is.
Chef's kiss perfection. Oh. Mm-hmm. Located in one of the poorest areas of Rancho Coronado. Coronado Dam, with a large white Petrochem logo on its front, is to all appearances abandoned, with the doors leading into the structure barred, and unlike the other dam to the southeast, no personnel is present here. The reservoir basin lies empty of water, and it is instead overrun with junk from the neighboring landfill. At some point, there was a large quantity of water, as seen from the shoreline marks along the basin's wall. The Laguna Bend Dam to the south prevents those waters from being emptied here. Why double damming? What? Why?
I mean, there's an argument to be made that, like, signing up for a corporation is so bad that you're damning yourself twice, so they're representing it by having a double dam.
I don't know if our audience heard the eye roll, but it was there.
Symbolism, Jen. Symbolism. That's why double damning.
All right.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the layout. I'll have to actually go back in game and look and see like how it looks in between, but I feel like maybe it was so that they could like they basically like, dammed up the water and then like let it drain out and then like did the secondary dam to basically make sure that was like the water didn't go into it and then filled in the space in between with the landfill. I don't know why I'm imagining the landfill is in between both of these dams now. Who knows?
Because I think so. That makes sense.
Or it was a form of segregation and they were going to put like basically have like the poorer people on the parts like and try and build like a nicer area for like corporate entities in the reservoir, and having a big old dam in between them kind of like creates like a wall. That sounds fitting for a cyberpunk universe.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe this will tell us. Coronado Dam was built in the late 20th century as a reservoir to provide water and electricity to nearby towns and homesteads, being one of the first large-scale constructions in the area. At some point, the reservoir was dried up, and the remaining basin has been used as a dump site ever since, filled with Night City's trash. Around 2062, NC Dam Limited built a new dam on the southeastern side of the basin, creating the reservoir of Laguna Bend. By 2077, ecologists are demanding a cleanup of the Coronado Dam Basin, and activists have already presented an official petition to the city council. So one of them was actually meant to provide a service. The other one was just NC Dam Limited being assholes.
Okay.
I guess they were trying to create fresh water, but they fucked it up. So there was a lot of trying to create benefits here and failing is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, flooding a city. Let's go back on that rampage.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely they were dumb. But, you know, the quote, the goal was to create a freshwater reservoir.
Okay. So, moving on to the Mega Building H7. Mega Building H7 is in a closed state for unknown reasons. It looks to be guarded by the Sixers and the NCPD, which appear to use Militech Wyvern drones and a modified Arasaka robot R-MK2. H7 is the only one made up of two adjacent but smaller building extensions, making it the biggest mega building in the game.
Yeah. We don't know a lot about it, but I wanted to note it because it was interesting that why is it locked down and why is it being protected by a gang and NCPD working together? Now I'm curious what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
send us your
building Judge Dredd is in. They locked it down from the outside so that he can put in his work. It's just taking him a while.
Leave your fan theories in the comments.
Oh yeah, for sure. But now we move on to the Night City Center for Psychiatric Health, which is unlike most fucking psychiatric locations in any fucking media setting ever, is real fucking bad. So according to the database entry, in the age of a rapid increase in cyberpsychosis cases, the psychiatric hospital in Night City seems to offer an earnest solution to one of the city's most burning issues. The clinic boasts a wide range of treatments, from traditional drug therapies and psychotherapy to mind disassemblement and brain dance conditioning. The clinic also prides itself on the innovative Safe Space program, which completely isolates patients from the outside world. Some think that getting rid of visiting hours is an essential part of successful treatment. Others think that these so-called psychiatrists don't want to be caught doing something they shouldn't.
I could talk so much about psychiatric help that I don't want to start a rant and have us continue talking for another hour. So I'm going to leave cyberpunk psychiatric help where it is at and just continue with the information.
It's still time.
All right, Wait, fuck this. Oh, no. All right. The main psychiatric facility can be found in Sequoia Street in Rancho Coronado. Patients are forbidden to have visitors, are locked in cells, and abused or even murdered by Militech-equipped orderlies, while doctors perform unethical experiments. Some patients, such as NCPD Sergeant Jasmine Dixon, are involuntarily committed by their employers as a form of cover-up.
I just said, wait until you read that paragraph.
I mean, I remember doing this quest, and I remember breaking her out, and I do not think that I sent her back. No, I think I sent her back to her husband, because he was the one trying to break her out. Oh,
don't send her back to the job.
There's so much to do with mental health. And the fact that, you know, sometimes in cyberpunk, you're told, like, going to therapy is a great thing to do. It helps you with cyberpsychosis. It allows you to install more cyberware. But
what? Why would we do that?
Why
would someone go to therapy just to install more cyberware? That's crazy.
But then you find out that maybe it's not so great. And,
I feel like this is common, though. Like, this is a common thing in just media in general. I mean,
but also in, like, real life, there are some really shitty mental health institutes out there. Okay. Maybe we'll devote an episode specifically to psychiatric care and therapy in cyberpunk, and then we can just rant about the healthcare system as a whole.
Fair enough.
All right, now throughout City Center, there are small, subsidiary, glass-walled buildings using signs with the alternate, erroneous, Night City Center for Behavioral Health name. Inside, bamboo and trees grow while bird songs play, most likely artificial due to the Avian Extermination Act, but city residents can be encountered here, meditating and performing stretching, martial arts, and quietly reading. That seems nice, at least.
That sounds nice. I mean, they have that whole underground like garden thing in city center too, so you know, there's some pretty nice peaceful places. Maybe because it's away from the main branch. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we should just do, before we get caught up in a rant about proper or mental health treatment, we move on to a much less controversial topic, which is the Rancho Coronado Public High School.
I don't know. I feel like most of my trauma that I needed there before started in high school, so.
Yeah, schools are definitely less controversial nowadays, right? Talking about it there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm being subtly facetious. Now, the high school takes up a block with the school buildings in an L shape. It has two basketball courts and a very shabby baseball field. The school is secured by fences topped by barbed wire, and the main entrance has concrete pedestrian turnstiles and vehicle gates. There is a 6th Street presence with a trio of members and three vehicles in the parking lot, and two Valentino's gang members loiter outside the main gates. So it's set up like a fucking prison.
Yeah, just a little bit. There are also two unique conversations held by NPCs, one in the parking lot where three students talk about using drugs as study aids, and another by the basketball court where a man quickly changes the subjects from drugs to education prior to brain dances.
A lot of drug use in this school. But we do have one final place to talk about, the Triple Extreme Gym. We have a short database entry. A former paint factory in Rancho Coronado, Triple Extreme Gym is now a fight ring belonging to the animals. I mean, come on. It's fitting with it's the animals, right? Like, they would say that.
Oh, yeah.
Fighters clash in an enormous vat that was once used to mix paints. The post-industrial interior lends the show a unique atmosphere and interesting acoustics.
Oh, is this where we go fight what's her face?
Rhino? Yeah.
Yeah. No, like I'm about to talk to you about right now. This gym, now owned by Animals member Logan Garcia, used to be an old paint factory. It can be found on the Baptiste Street in Rancho Coronado, close to the Rancho Coronado South Data Term. Rhino, who competes in the Beat on the Brat tournament, can also be found here. If she has defeated V, if she has been defeated, V will temporarily be friendly with the other animals inside the gym. This one was pretty difficult for me on my first playthrough because I didn't really do punching things at all. Oh, and then I accidentally hit her with a mono wire, and then that got me disqualified.
Yeah, that's. Yep. I remember having difficulty my first time around, and then ever since, I've never had an issue.
Yeah.
My last playthrough. I think I just stun locked her, because I think there's like a way that you can just like, if you just like, if you manage to land, because you have to hit the first one, and that's the only difficult part of it. You land a strong hit on her, it like, she stumbles back, and you have like a time window. You can basically just continuously do that. And like, as she's trying to come out of the animation, she'll just go back into it. And so, like, it just is a constant cycle, and you just kind of, like, lock her into it until she's fucking beat.
Me, my strat is mainly the shove off balance and then quick jabs.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, viable. I move my characters with my fucking cool and reflexes tendency. Just it's so hard to actually like stay around because I get too dodgy with it. I'm just over here like it's just hard to like I get fucking messed up, so I have to just ignore that completely.
And me, then, I'm the heavy brawler. I just fucking bulk up and punch you in the face.
I may have been already like super high spec on this by the time I got to her though. I'm trying to remember. Because I was doing so many side quests.
I think now I definitely wait a lot longer than I did the first playthrough, so that way I know that I'm higher.
That one for sure. I think because I started like I went from like north down, so by the time I got to this shit, I probably would have been way late. This is probably damn near close to me already being like level fucking 40 or something. That's how I fought her. So you remember, I didn't start Phantom Liberty until I was like, I think I was already like max level.
Yeah.
Or close to.
Oh, man.
So, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Got any other final thoughts on Santo Domingo?
I kind of like it more now.
Agreed. Yeah. I thought we would have more to talk about the Valentinos, but maybe we'll get to them later. Because this is kind of their... This is where Padres is and all that stuff, yeah?
No, Padres is Haywood.
Haywood. I knew that.
It's confusing because Haywood is not a product of Haywood. Because Haywood in 2020 is what became Santo Domingo, but Haywood in 2077 used to be like the South Industrial District, so it like the name Haywood moved to a different location entirely.
I wonder if that's why I have such a hard time separating the two, because to me Santo Domingo and Haywood are so intrinsically linked, and so
I can definitely see that, but yeah, no. Haywood is part of, well, actually, Haywood's its own district.
I think, yeah. Family.
So yeah, man, it's weird. I thought that was interesting.
All right. Well, come back next week and we will talk more about Night City districts. We will learn more together. And you can also follow us on Twitter X at CyberpunkLore, patreon.com/CyberpunkLoreCast. And if you'd like to hear more from me, you can find me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. You can also hear me on the newest fan-made audio drama, The Avengers, the audio drama by Scyther Audio, where you can hear me and several of my podcasting friends as voice actors.
Nice. If you want to hear more from me, catch me doing the Witcher Lorecast, as well as the Cyberpunk Red live play podcast, Cyberpunk apostrophe D. Did they release the last episode?
They have. It is officially over.
Yep. So I'm going to go listen to that now. Fully complete series. You can go listen to that.
And at the end of every episode, we shout out Miracle of Sound and thank him for being awesome and amazing and allowing his music to be used. We use snips and clips from the Neon Red instrumental remix. Thank you. And while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Ever wanted to be a content creator but had no clue where to begin? Come join me as I sit down with content creators that have already faced the challenges you're up against as they discuss the tips and tricks that help them be successful. Here on The Content Creator's Guide, available wherever podcasts can be found.